Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who handed over Jesus for you? The answer to that question seems almost too obvious. And in some ways, the answer to that question is too obvious. For even when first naming Judas Iscariot as one of the 12 disciples turned apostles, the gospel accounts immediately identify him as Jesus's betrayer. And as we heard in tonight's reading, the gospel accounts can even use the expression "the betrayer" to refer to Judas. So much is Judas associated with Jesus's betrayal that even in popular speech, the term Judas can refer to anyone who deceitfully and treacherously betrays a friend. And yet, using the same Greek verb, which is translated betray only about one-third of the time in the New Testament also refers to others than Judas. They're handing over Jesus, such as God the Father's giving him up for us all. Last week we discussed God the Father, noting that sometimes the references to Jesus as being handed over were what we call divine passives. And this week we discuss Judas, noting that sometimes the references to Jesus as being handed over, arguably by Judas, make use of phrases that express not the ultimate agent, but only the intermediate agent. In other words, God the Father is the one who handed over Jesus, but Judas is the one or one of the ones through whom Jesus was handed over, at least to the Jewish leaders. What we heard about Judas last week and this week are only parts of what the Holy Spirit has inspired to be written about Judas in the four gospel accounts. Similar to how the gospel account authors tell us that Judas is the betrayer at his first mention, we are told with reference to Judas that Jesus knew who would betray him from the beginning. And in time, days before the betrayal, Judas objected to Mary of Bethany's anointing Jesus with expensive ointment instead of giving its monetary value to the poor. And the divinely inspired St. John tells us that Judas did not care about the poor, but was a thief with charge of the money bag, to the contents of which he was helping himself. At some point after, Satan entered into Judas. And as we heard last week, Judas offered to betray Jesus to the Jewish leaders, and they paid him 30 pieces of silver. On the night when he was betrayed, Judas was there at the closed Lord's Supper. And like the rest of the 12, Judas questioned whether he was the one who would betray Jesus. Only unlike with the rest of the 12, by at least one account, Jesus essentially told Judas that he was the betrayer. Then later, as we heard this week, interrupting Jesus' time with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas did betray Jesus with a kiss that otherwise would normally be a sign of their close friendship. At this point in the narrative of the Passion of our Lord, application is often made from Judas's betrayal of Jesus to what is then called our betrayals of Jesus. For example, the Lutheran Study Bible exclaims, "How often we too have betrayed Christ and sent him to the cross for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver." And there may well be a likeness between Judas's literally handing over Jesus and our figuratively handing over Jesus. But the Bible, notably, does not refer to our, in any sense, handing over Jesus. Rather, as we heard last week, the Bible refers to God the Father's handing over Jesus for us, or more specifically, for our trespasses. Without our also being among those who handed over Jesus, as God the Father and Judas were, we still have more than enough guilt in connection with Jesus' death for our original sin, and all of our actual sins are, in some sense, the cause of Jesus' death on the cross. And without Jesus' death on the cross for us, we would suffer not only death now in this world, but also torment for eternity in hell. Although later Judas, to the Jewish leaders, confessed his sin of betraying Jesus' innocent blood, Judas apparently did not combine his sorrow over his sin with trust in God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. But rather, Judas seemingly despaired of God's mercy and took his own life. And so Judas presumably began to experience that torment for eternity in hell, though not yet in his resurrected but unglorified body. In Judas's case, what Jesus arguably prophesied about the one by whom he was betrayed came true, namely, that it would have been better for Judas if he had not been born. Not that Judas fatalistically had to be, as Tim Rice put it, damned for all time. But if Judas ended up damned for all time, Judas ended up damned for all time because he did not heed the Holy Spirit's enabling call for him to repent. But as tonight's psalm put it, when we confess our transgressions to the Lord, then he forgives the iniquity of our sin. And we, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, we are truly blessed for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The devil may have tempted Judas to betray Jesus, and Judas may have betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But God had a different motive in handing over Jesus. And what they meant for evil, God meant for good. As we sang in tonight's office hymn, God's deep, broad, high love led Jesus to be betrayed by wickedness for us. Judas apparently knew that by taking a bribe to shed innocent blood, he came under a curse. And Judas may have known also that God required a man's life for his sin that led to the taking of a man's life. But Judas apparently missed the fact that the man Jesus' life was given for his sin, as the man Jesus' life was given for all of our sin. Indeed, on the cross, Jesus died for us in our place, the death that we deserved. As true man, Jesus could die for the sins of the world. And as true God, his death was sufficient for the sins of the world. When we combine sorrow over our sin with trust in God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake, then God forgives us our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. God forgives us through his sent ministers, faithfully preaching his word and administering his sacraments. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, Jesus had acknowledged that the Jewish leaders both were Moses' successors and taught with Moses' authority. But Jesus criticized the Jewish leaders for their unfaithfully fulfilling the holy duties that were entrusted to them. We see their priestly malpractice with Judas. Instead of the Jewish leaders pointing Judas to God's mercy and grace, offering a sacrifice for and pronouncing absolution to Judas, the Jewish leaders told Judas to see to his sin himself. In comparison, we hear God's law and gospel faithfully read and preached to groups such as this one, and we have God's gospel faithfully administered to us individually with water in holy baptism, with the pastor's touch in holy absolution, and with bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar, that are Christ's body given for us and his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, and so also for life and salvation. In all of these ways, through his faithful ministers, God forgives our sins, transforming us and enabling us to persevere unto eternal life. Judas's fall from the 12 and his later replacement with Matthias were seen as fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. In all aspects around Judas's handing over Jesus, God's saving purposes were fulfilled then, as God's saving purposes are fulfilled now. Even things that others might mean for evil, God can mean for good. As the divinely inspired St. Paul wrote to the Romans and to us, "For those who love God, all things work together, at least for the good of conforming us to the image of God's Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Last week and this week, we have considered God the Father and Judas as those who handed over Jesus for you. And in the three midweek Lenten Vesper services still to come this year, we will consider three other not-so-obvious answers to that thematic question, who handed Jesus over for you? May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit continue to bless our Lenten walk together to the glory of his holy name. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.